Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Hey, it's Kenny Mann. This is a promotion of Hey Mann, the Kenny Mann Talks to Famous People podcast. We got lots of famous people, Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann.
We got away with 99% of what we tried to do.
I'm mad at him because I know that he'll regret it, but I know that he has to leave.
Sue Bird is involved, Rex Chapman, Dan Le Batard, Katie Nolan, Allison Becker. Sorry for all the others I interviewed who I left out. Oh, yeah, Soledad O'Brien. She was good. Get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage could help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, well, Rocket can, and producing this extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
His dumb producer, Hot Take Hickey.
Coming up at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, we will chat with Ligier Duzabal. Okay, I have a thought just right out of the gate. Because if I were to say at the end of the year that Matt LaFleur may not be back with the Green Bay Packers, you would say it's crazy and there's really nothing to justify that. But just hear me out. For a coach that has been 13-3, 13-3, 13-3, you would not think he is on the hot seat whatsoever. But if you recently hear Aaron Rodgers, there is some disconnect. How big it is, that's a good question, but there has to be some disconnect between Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur. Last week, Aaron Rodgers, we need to simplify the offense. Matt LaFleur, I don't know what that means. This week, if guys aren't producing, if guys are making the same mistakes, we need to cut their reps. So clearly, Aaron Rodgers is frustrated, and he's not thrilled with Matt LaFleur right now. Now, is that relationship at a point where it's contentious and Aaron Rodgers wants to see Matt LaFleur lose his job? That I don't know. But with the way that the contract is structured for Aaron Rodgers and it looking like the Packers could potentially miss the playoffs this year, you would think after this weekend they're going to fall to 3-5. The Vikings are 5-1, so they don't have the easy path to go win the NFC North, and they're going to be competing for a wild card spot. Assuming the Packers get embarrassed by the Buffalo Bills, you wonder how Rodgers is going to kind of take that. With this team being that 3-5, last few years of his career, no Devontae Adams anymore, which you could say is on him, and then also, hey, Devontae Adams just wanted to go to the Raiders and he left money on the table. But regardless, is it out of the realm of possibilities where at the end of this offseason, Aaron Rodgers goes, I want someone other than Matt LaFleur? And I'm not going to take that off the table. I'm not going to say there's a 0% chance of that happening. And when Aaron Rodgers could use this over the head of Brian Gutekunst and the Green Bay Packers organization, that if he just retires, well, then next year you're stuck, according to SpotRack, with a dead cap of $99.7 million. So if Aaron Rodgers wanted Matt LaFleur out of the picture at the end of the season, I do think there is a road for him to get his way. Now, we have seen before Brian Gutekunst do things that maybe don't necessarily appease his quarterback, like drafting the guy that they wanted to replace him, which ended up blowing up in their face in Jordan Love. And they were able to work through those problems and those speed bumps and those roadblocks. And even last year, you heard Aaron Rodgers refer to Brian Gutekunst as a friend and someone that they worked on their relationship, which was at a bad path. So I don't know if Rodgers is going to do it, but clearly Rodgers is frustrated. And maybe he's just simply frustrated at the losing, and he doesn't really put it all on the head coach. Publicly, though, it sounds like he's taking out his frustration on the coach when you simply say they have to simplify the offense. And then this week, you are calling for guys to go to the bench, and that is a reflection on the coach, in his opinion, not doing his job by putting the guys that keep on making the same mistakes over and over and over again. So that's my thought today, right out of the gate. Is this potentially the final year of Matt LaFleur with the Green Bay Packers? And if you look at his resume, he shouldn't be on the hot seat. Aaron Rodgers, though, is really one of the biggest enigmas in sports. He is someone that I don't know what mood he wakes up in. Now, anytime he speaks to the media, I have no clue what the guy is saying, and he just doesn't seem happy. Now, I can't always dissect people's moods, and when you're constantly in the public spotlight, even though you get paid a lot of money, yeah, it may not be the most fun thing in the world, but the guy is playing the position of quarterback in the NFL. He has all the money in the world, and this year and other years, he just doesn't seem happy. And I don't know how much he's invested and loves football as much as he used to. But right now, I would say, I just don't know if even, I don't want to say if he just doesn't even care at all, because you got to care when you're showing up to the facility each and every day and you're on the field and you're taking the hits. But it doesn't seem like there's a great sense of urgency from Rodgers in terms of giving answers to the problems. Because when you just say vague things like, oh, we got to simplify the offense, or calling for teammates to be put on the bench, you may feel that, but is it really going to move the needle much? Like, how are you going to simplify the offense? Matt LaFleur last week said, I don't even know what that means. This week, you're going to take guys off the field. Well, who's replacing them? Who's getting the reps? Like, let's say if they take Romeo Doubs, just for example, off the field, do you have anyone else on that roster, on that depth chart, that's going to be better than what he's done? No. So maybe your frustration needs to be directed and voiced to Brian Gutekunst, where you need to go into that general manager's office and say, yo, this isn't working. I'm Aaron Rodgers. I'm back-to-back MVP award winner. I'm one of the top 10 greatest quarterbacks of all time. I don't have to do this anymore. Now, I want to play. I want to do this. I signed a contract extension. But you need to go on out there and find a way not to fully replace Davante Adams, because that's impossible midway through the season, but find a way to partially fill the void. And it takes two to tango, because Odell Beckham would need to go there, or whoever the other guy is that's available on the trade market. You'd have to then work a deal out with that team, and not only with that team, not get outbid by other teams who could also offer draft compensation. So, Hickey, let's approach this two ways. Number one, I do think it's fair to say that Rodgers is frustrated right now. Anyone would be frustrated when you just lost the last three games that they did. I know the Giants and Jets have improved, but you had a lead up against the Giants 17-3, 20-10. Against the Jets, they just got killed from the start. And last week, you were leading up against the Commanders. It wasn't as if you pulled away, but then you lost to the Commanders with Taylor Heinicke at quarterback. So I'm not saying that people, when they speak to the media, should be smiling and jumping up and down and all happy-go-lucky and exuberant. You're 3-4, and most likely you're staring 3-5 in your face. This frustration, and when Rodgers gets frustrated, it just looks like he's so PO'd, and it kind of dampens the entire mood of the organization, where you wonder, well, how much is that frustration because he cares, and then how much is it because he just doesn't care anymore? And it's like, all right, whatever, I'm getting my money. I already won a Super Bowl. I'm already going to the Hall of Fame. I don't have the pieces to really go win this year and go be the team that I want to be. So who really cares? Because when he speaks, and maybe it's just the way that it's so monotone too, like he's critical. He's saying that they got to change the offense. He's saying guys got to lose their reps. Sometimes it doesn't come off as the best leader in the world. And then also, you wonder how fully invested he is at this stage of his career, clearly on the 17th or 18th hole, maybe the 16th hole of his career, getting ready, not that far away from walking into the clubhouse.
Yeah, I think this is a lot of frustration, like, that he still cares. Like, if he was not saying anything, it was kind of just mellowed out and, you know, even looked happy, let's say, during the stretch, I think that's where you can question, does he even care anymore? Because we know his interest off the field, you know, so it could be one of those things where if he was not saying anything, that's when the kind of the red flags go up about if he does truly care. My frustration with him is just, what is he doing to help out everyone else? Like, it's easy to point the finger and say, this guy's not doing that, this guy's not doing that, we need to do this and that and bench guys. But what is Aaron Rodgers, the $50 million quarterback, the future Hall of Famer, doing to make sure the young, inexperienced receivers have a chance to succeed on Sunday? It doesn't sound like to me, when he's complaining every single week about something else, he's going out of his way, whether it's extra practice time, extra film time, to make sure everyone's on the same page.
Just showing up, like, in the summer.
You figure it out. I'm going to be here, like, doing my thing.
No, it's fair, and I think you brought this up a few weeks ago, and I didn't agree with it really at the time, but now you wonder, those reps in the summer, not that I think that OTAs and voluntary training camp or workouts are really all that important, but if it is a chemistry and a lack of reps and these guys don't have any experience, maybe that time is more valuable than the average person would tend to believe.
And who knows, like, it maybe makes a minuscule difference, but...
But even if it helps you have 5% more.
Right.
If it helps you have 5% more, maybe you win a few of these extra close games.
And it just helps with the appearance of, hey, you know, at least Rodgers is trying, and now it really is on everyone else. Whereas, again, you're just sitting here and talking and spewing, not nonsense, but just spewing criticism left and right anytime you can, it's a bad look.
You would agree the face of the Packers is Aaron Rodgers, and this is Aaron Rodgers' organization. You would agree with that, right?
I think the Packers showed you that the last few years, that's the case.
Yeah, that's one of those kind of questions that I'm asking you I know the answer to. I'm just right. Making a point, so we're making an obvious statement. Matt LaFleur and Rodgers, yeah, the first year, remember they're in preseason, they were like wondering if they actually do like each other, and we asked questions about that, all that. If Rodgers the last 2 weeks, it sounds like just to me he's taking shots at his head coach, doesn't it? Is that the only way that I could interpret it when you say we need to simplify the offense? Who's the offensive guru there? It's Matt LaFleur. He's the head coach. He's the offensive guy. And then this week we need to start cutting the reps of these guys. That's basically saying to the coach, you're not doing your job when these guys keep on making the same mistakes by taking them off the field. I don't know if it's a contentious relationship, but Rodgers is clearly annoyed right now to some degree at Matt LaFleur. Would you agree with that?
I think he's annoyed, absolutely. I think he's annoyed also at everyone. Like, I don't think it's just all his ire is only directed on Matt LaFleur. I think it's everyone in the offense right now he's upset with.
Well, if you're Aaron Rodgers, and other than money bringing you back for next year, is it out of the realm of possibilities that this offseason, where his moods are so unpredictable, where he goes to Brian Gutekunst and says, I'm thinking about retiring if we don't have a change of the head coach? Like, is it at that level where that's at least a possibility?
Possibility, yes. Likely, I would right now still say no, but seeing how he's acted, I think 100% that has to be in a discussion about possibilities.
He has leverage. If he leaves that organization this year, and I know that dead cap used to be a lot easier to comprehend, and then there's all ways that you can navigate it now, and it's all confusing. But on SpotRack, it says that dead cap, however you navigate it or not, is $99.7 million next year. So if he says, I'm going away, I'm retiring, and I'm not being a part of this organization, you're kind of screwed. So Rodgers has a lot of leverage where he could go up to Gutekunst this offseason and say, yeah, LaFleur was 13-3, 13-3, 13-3, but this past year, let's say they get 8 wins, 9 wins or whatever, and they miss the playoffs. Maybe he says the message is stale, or the approach is stale, and we need a change if you want me to come back for the next 2-3 seasons and honor the rest of my contract. And I'm just fascinated, because you know there would be pushback from Gutekunst, but just because there's initial pushback and you have to make those decisions quickly right after the end of the season with how all these head coaching searches do go down. But I wonder then, when you have that week to think about it, if they do eventually bend the knee once again to Aaron Rodgers. Because where do you go? Like, do you go to Jordan Love? Is that a positive thing said about Jordan Love? Fair or not. So you're Brian Gutekunst. I'm Aaron Rodgers. At the end of the year, what was that stuff that he was doing in the offseason?
Ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca. Let's say I'm not ready to participate in the ayahuasca yet. and I have a serious conversation with you. Goody, Goot, my man, BG, Brian Gutekunst, I'm Aaron Rodgers. I want out unless you find a way to fire Matt LaFleur. It's either me or LaFleur. What say you?
I'm not ready to go here just yet. I have to think about it. I don't think it's as easy as you're saying, okay, you get your wish. Money makes it complicated. I would seriously consider saying, all right, fine, we'll take Matt LaFleur then. See you later.
Okay, let's just say you do that. Bleep you, bleep you, bleep everything about you. I'm retiring. And then Rodgers goes to wherever he lives, and he waits for Gutekunst to fly down and try to break bread with him to make a decision on that. Then, let's say we rewind or fast forward a week later. You get on the plane. You fly to wherever Rodgers is situated. How do you start the conversation with Aaron to try to get him back so you don't screw yourself on a dead cap?
Honestly, I talked to my dead cap guys before I talked to Aaron Rodgers. I would say, how can we make this? I'm being serious. Like, if he's going to play this card and kind of be, for lack of a better word, a douche to everyone in the organization.
Whoa!
Like, honestly, at what point do you say, you know what? Screw it. Like, he's 39 years old. Is he getting any better? Probably not. You really want to just kind of be walking on eggshells every single day that you're in season, afraid to get criticized? Or is it just kind of like, you know what? Like, maybe he has 2 good years left, but is it worth it? I think now we're starting to get to the question of, is his attitude and criticism worth it?
Now, could we also have a conversation about Matt LaFleur? How good is Matt LaFleur as a head coach?
No idea. And that's a very fair question. I do not know.
Right? Because, and don't get me wrong, I do think Rodgers gets a pass. But that team, that offense, I know some of it's on Rodgers, some of it's on LaFleur. They didn't show up against the 49ers last year in the divisional round. The year before, yeah, Rodgers stalled left and right, and LaFleur made a boneheaded decision down 8, kicking a field goal, giving the ball back to Tom Brady. That team wasn't ready to go against the 49ers a few years back in the NFC Championship game. So I don't know how good Matt LaFleur is as a coach because Aaron Rodgers has been the great eraser. And now you take away Devontae Adams and Rodgers is still a great player, but they don't have a lot of weapons there. You would think this great Matt LaFleur would be able to devise up a game plan to not prevent this ship from sinking, but I would also think the great Aaron Rodgers would be able to devise up a little bit of approach on offense where this team wouldn't be losing back-to-back-to-back games to the Giants, to the Jets, and the Commanders. So I'm just saying, I think it's on the table. I think we need to have this conversation in how contentious is the relationship, because the way that you hear Rodgers recently speak, it seems like he's fed up with Matt LaFleur. So is there a scenario at the end of the year where Matt LaFleur goes to Brian Gutekunst and says, you know what my dead cap number is? I'm going to retire. I'm going to walk. I'm going to leave this game if we don't get rid of Matt LaFleur. Because all I'm hearing from Rodgers the last 2 weeks is we got to simplify the offense. And then this week, pretty much saying, we got to cut the reps of these guys that keep on making the same mistakes. That's not a good reflection on the way that Aaron Rodgers views Matt LaFleur right now. And if that continues and this team goes down this path of not making the playoffs, does Rodgers put all the chips in on the table and say, Gutekunst, it's either me or LaFleur. You have a decision to make. And I need a new head coach because even though he's 13-3, 13-3, 13-3 the first 3 years, right now, this isn't working for me. I think that's on the table. I think that's a possibility this year. What say you, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227? It is the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, Matt Ryan's career looks like it's over. Is he a Hall of Famer? We'll discuss.
Hey, it's Kenny Mayne. This is a promotion of Hey Mayne, the Kenny Mayne Talks to Famous People podcast. We got lots of famous people, Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann.
We got away with 99% of what we tried to do.
I'm mad at him because I know that he'll regret it, but I know that he has to leave.
Sue Bird is involved, Rex Chapman, Dan Le Batard, Katie Nolan, Allison Becker. Sorry for all the others I interviewed who I left out. Oh, yeah, Soledad O'Brien. She was good. Get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football. Live and on demand. Wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Hey, it's Kenny Mayne. This is a promotion of Hey Mayne, the Kenny Mayne Talks to Famous People podcast. We got lots of famous people, Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann.
We got away with 99% of what we tried to do.
I'm mad at him because I know that he'll regret it, but I know that he has to leave.
Sue Bird is involved. Rex Chapman, Dan Le Batard, Katie Nolan, Allison Becker. Sorry for all the others I interviewed who I left out. Oh, yeah, Soledad O'Brien. She was good. Get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We opened up the show talking about Aaron Rodgers clearly being frustrated, and I just thought to myself in the middle of the break, I got to give my guy from 1250 The Fan, you can also now check him out on BetQL as he's doing one of these BetQL app chats tonight for the Bucks and Nets game, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Sparky, how you been?
Doing all right, buddy. Hanging out. I heard the beginning of the show and you talking about Matt LaFleur in a hot seat or something like that. But, yeah, we're good.
Is it a possibility? Because
zero.
No chance. At the end of the year, Rodgers, who's frustrated the last 2 weeks, says, guys, my dead cap is what it is. I don't need this anymore. I'm going to leave unless you get rid of Matt LaFleur. Why do you say zero?
Because, first of all, I don't think Rodgers will leave. He's got like $50 or so million in cash coming his way next year. I can't see him walking away from that, regardless of how much money he's got in the bank. Number two, LaFleur, because of how successful they've been, I think has built up some stock within this organization. And thirdly, I believe that when this whole interview process started for this head coach, when Mark Murphy was looking and trying to figure out who the next head coach was going to be, I think part of the reason he hired Matt LaFleur was because Matt LaFleur's system convinced Mark Murphy they wouldn't need a Hall of Fame quarterback in order to win after Aaron Rodgers. That's what this coaching hire was all about. It was for after Aaron Rodgers. At that point, they didn't think Aaron Rodgers would still be here all this long and then signing him to an extension on top of it. So I think they believe in LaFleur. I think they believe in his system and what it can do. The stuff that's going on right now, in large part, is due to the fact that Devontae Adams isn't here anymore. And that is in part due to the fact that Aaron Rodgers, didn't want to say if he was coming back or not, didn't want to talk about the contract extension. They didn't want to sign Devontae Adams to a contract extension and then have Jordan Love and then have Devontae be upset and not wanting to play with Jordan Love and wanting out. So they got put in between a rock and a hard place, and they kind of screwed themselves up now.
How would you classify the relationship with the things Rodgers has said the last 2 weeks with him and LaFleur? What do you think that relationship's at right now?
I don't know. I don't think it's all that bad necessarily. I think what you have is, again, you've got injuries to a certain degree. Randall Cobb has been his guy for a while. He's out. Lazard, can be that guy, but he's not a true number one. He's not an explosive player that's going to beat a bunch of guys downfield. As much as we talk about Devontae Adams not being there, believe it or not, I mean, MVS being in Kansas City was a downfield threat this team could really use right now because Christian Watson, who was their first wide receiver they drafted, has been hurt with a hamstring injury and really hasn't done much in this offense. And he was supposed to be the guy to take the top off the offense, and he hasn't been out there and been able to do that. And then, as Rodgers points out, you got a bunch of guys making mistakes, and that's going to be expected, I think, with young players, and that's why a lot of times wide receivers take a little bit longer to get going in the NFL than other positions do. It's all part of a growing process, but we should also point the finger at 12-2 to a certain degree. He wasn't at OTAs. How much extra work has he put in with these wide receivers on the side to try and help, further along their progress to get them ready Sunday to Sunday? He keeps talking about that they need to work on their own, which is fine and dandy. But Patrick Mahomes said in whole wide receiving core, he was working with them in the offseason, separate from OTAs. He was going above and beyond trying to figure it out. When Brady got to Tampa Bay, he was doing the same thing, separate from OTAs. So we've seen other guys make that added extra effort to try and get things going the right way with their wide receivers. And, 12 decided he didn't want to do that, and it was up to them to figure it out. And now here we sit.
Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here with us for a few more moments. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Is this salvageable to fix in season this year? Is there a name or two that you think they should target? But are they even going to get anyone? Because every year we say the Packers should get this guy, that guy at the wide receiver spot, and they never do.
I'll be honest with you, Zach. what I'm going to say isn't going to be very popular. I'd scrap what they're doing on offense. I'd totally scrap it. And I would play double tight ends. I'd play Jones and Dillon in the backfield at the same time. Mercedes Lewis is a good run-blocking tight end. You got DeGuara. You've got Robert Tonyan. You can make something work. Heavy play action. And focus on running the football. Add that sixth offensive lineman when need be to go jumbo. You don't have the wide receivers to go four wide and shotgun like they've done a majority of Rodgers' career. That's not what this offense is. They have to make bigger adjustments than just figuring out how far along Romeo Doubs has to run before he makes his move. There's bigger problems here. And trading for Jerry Jeudy or somebody like that, I don't think it solves a whole bunch, because now that person has to come in, learn the offense, get on the page with Aaron Rodgers, do things the way Rodgers wants, and you're talking about a whole nother, 4, 5, 6 weeks of progression before they get to where Rodgers wants them to be. So I don't think it solves much of anything trading for a receiver at this point, unless the thought is you're trading for a young receiver who eventually will be Jordan Love's number one wide receiver in 2 or 3 years or whatever the case may be.
How many points they lose by up against Buffalo in Buffalo this weekend?
I think this is a back against the wall game. They get jacked up. They come out. They play well. But again, Lazard's shoulders in a sling. Cobb's not playing. I say they lose by 20.
20. Okay. Even with the competitive effort.
Yeah, they just don't have the guns at wide receiver. And if they're going to continue to try and run the offense they're trying to run, I just don't know how you can be successful against really good football teams. And, Buffalo and Philly are probably the two best teams right now in football, and Philly just got better adding Quinn from the Bears today.
They're not making the playoffs this year, right?
I don't know. That division stinks. Vikings haven't played anybody. So, I don't know. I think they still have a chance to possibly win that division. The problem is the easiest part of their schedule is done, and they're under 500 after it. I mean, you look at the schedule, and it's Giants, Jets, Washington, Commanders. As a Packer fan, you look and go, well, that's 3 wins, and you move on. And instead, you've lost all of them.
By the way, you know me. I never like to pour salt in a Colts fan's wound, so I just have to ask you how you're doing with the Matt Ryan news.
I tweeted this out the other day. Well, first of all, I bought myself a Matt Ryan jersey before the season.
Colts did you jersey. Really?
I did, but there's a backstory. Because my 15-year-old is a Falcons fan, and has been since he was in second grade.
Okay.
So he was a big Matt Ryan fan. My 6-year-old takes after my 15-year-old, so he's a Falcons fan. So I got the jersey, just kind of flaunted in front of them that I got their quarterback. That was the reason I got it. So I've been wearing it. So, but the reason they did this, and I saw Florio's piece on Pro Football Talk talking about contract and so forth with Matt Ryan. I'm sure that's part of it. But look, man, this draft class is loaded. So instead of playing Nick Foles and saying we're going to try to win, to hell with it. Sam Ellinger is going to be the quarterback. If he's really good, then they have their quarterback of the future. If he stinks and they win 4 games, that's still a win for the Colts, because now they can go get their franchise quarterback and get off of this quarterback carousel they've been on for the last few years.
You can check him out on BetQL tonight via the BetQL app. What are you doing, a chat during the Bucks-Nets game, Sparky?
Yeah, Bucks Nets tonight. We'll talk betting a little bit, obviously, but we'll talk about how bad Ben Simmons is. Talk about this Bucks team. Lots to talk about during the game tonight while we're watching it.
Appreciate it as always. Thanks for carving out a few minutes.
Absolutely. Be good.
855-212-4CBS. Let me just take one more before the break. Gary in Iowa. Gary, go ahead. You're on the Zach Gilb Show.
Hi, Zach. Yeah, I agree with Sparky. I think, everybody with the Packers should be frustrated with their record based on their squad and how much they pay Aaron Rodgers. But, Aaron has no business complaining to other people if he can't show up for practice and OTAs with all these young guys. I mean, he has to be a part of the solution. And, when you throw a ball to a receiver and they drop it, for their confidence, you got to go right back to them, get them the ball, and get their head in the right spot. And he just wants to point out the imperfections and walk around like a strutting peacock and say how great he is. And that's not what they need right now.
Yeah, he's not a good leader. And I know we've made a lot of excuses for Rodgers in years past. The last 2-3 years, I can't make excuses for him with the performance in the divisional round last year against the 49ers, when you have a wide open Allen Lazard and you go to Devontae Adams, who was covered,
right,
You look back at that NFC title game. We discussed it against Tampa numerous times. Everyone talks LaFleur. Yes, LaFleur made a boneheaded decision by taking the field goal down 8, giving the ball back to Brady.
Right.
But there was 2 drives where they were down by 5, and he went 3 and out, and stalled early in the red zone and could have ran for either a first down or a touchdown on that drive where they had to settle for the field goal. So, Rodgers, there's been a lot of years where Rodgers could blame the special teams. He could blame the people not recovering onside kick, the defense. The last 2-3 years, even with him winning back-to-back MVPs, in the big moments where you need to go get that second Super Bowl ring, the guy's failed.
Yeah, and maybe he's not as good as we think he is. Because, you know, without Davante Adams, what has he done?
But you know what? He's a great quarterback. He's a top 10 quarterback of all time. But I think with the way that we've seen other quarterbacks win multiple Super Bowls, it just shows you it's not easy to win multiple Super Bowls. But when he won it so early in his career, we definitely would have thought he at least would have had another Super Bowl appearance. But here we are all those years later where it's not that case. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back. We will discuss the future of Matt Ryan. Will he be a Hall of Famer whenever he decides to hang him up? We'll get into that conversation on the other side and do a little buyers and sellers as well.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Hey, it's Kenny Mayne. This is a promotion of Hey Mayne, the Kenny Mayne Talks to Famous People podcast. We got lots of famous people, Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann.
We got away with 99% of what we tried to do.
I'm mad at him because I know that he'll regret it, but I know that he has to leave.
Sue Bird is involved. Rex Chapman, Dan Le Batard, Katie Nolan, Allison Becker. Sorry for all the others I interviewed who I left out. Oh, yeah, Soledad O'Brien. She was good. Get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Matt Ryan can eat a lot of cheesesteaks right now. He doesn't need to be in football shape. He's on the bench. You can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So when we get to older quarterbacks right now, hot take hickey. Like, obviously, Brady, the second he retires, is going to get in the Hall of Fame. Drew Brees retired last year. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Big Ben, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Like, we know those are just not debatable. You know right away, Brady is the greatest quarterback ever. You know that Big Ben has won 2 Super Bowls. Great quarterback in this league for a long time. And the said could be same for Drew Brees minus the 2 Super Bowls. He only won 1. When we get to a guy like Eli Manning, to you, yes or no, is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer? We're going to give you 3 quarterbacks right here. Is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer?
No.
Really? 2 Super Bowl MVPs, and you don't have him in the Hall of Fame. Well, let me ask you this. To you, he's not a Hall of Famer. Do you think he will get in the Hall of Fame, though?
Oh, he'll get in. I wouldn't put him in.
Okay. I'd be shocked if Eli Manning is not in the Hall of Fame. Phillip Rivers. Is he a Hall of Famer to you?
I'd probably say no.
Okay. I also err on the side that I think Phillip Rivers should be a Hall of Famer and will be a Hall of Famer. Now, let's get to a name that it's safe to say Matt Ryan's career is over. Like, if you're him, are you even playing next year?
I think he would if he could. Maybe, I mean, I can't pretend, you know, I think he would if he could.
Even if you go into a situation where you're not guaranteed a starting job?
No, I think it depends on the situation. Like, I think he'd be brought in to be the guy. I don't think he's going to compete, you know, let's say for the commander starting job.
It could be a possibility. They
Carson Wentz and Taylor Heinicke. I don't think, you know.
Like, I'm just trying to think, where would he go in and start next year? He's not starting in Buffalo. He's not starting with the Jets. Not starting with the Dolphins. Not starting with the Pats. Like, I'm just going through the teams. Chiefs, no. Chargers, no. Raiders, no. Broncos, no. Even with that disaster right now with Russell Wilson. Ravens, no. Bengals, no. Browns, no. Pittsburgh, no. Tennessee, no. How could you, after seeing what he just did against your team? Jaguars, no. Texans, no. And no one in the AFC.
No.
There's not a single team in the AFC. Now, NFC. Eagles, no. Giants, no. Cowboys, no. Commanders, I guess it's a possibility. You bring him in for a year, and then you don't start whoever you draft in the first round, but that's not a healthy situation. Seahawks, like, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I'd rather see Geno Smith for another year than Matt Ryan.
I'd agree with that, yeah.
Rams, no. 49ers, no. Cardinals, no. Vikings, no. Packers, no. Chicago, I don't think they're moving on from Justin Fields yet. The Lions, Jared Goff's probably back. With a first-round quarterback, you would
think. I was going to say, I don't think they'll punt on drafting a first-round quarterback this time, especially considering their record.
Well, yes. Well, maybe they bring in Ryan for the veteran leadership, but then why wouldn't you just bring, you know, keep Goff in that case?
I also don't think Matt Ryan would go to a place where he's brought in as a mentor.
He may not have any choices. We have one division left, and we only said one or two potential teams.
Well, it's not a lot. Yeah, the market's very slim.
Bucks, potentially, I guess, if Brady walks away.
Yeah, I mean, they're built to win. You know, they're built to win. They're not going to go into a rebuild. Now, they should be able to get a better quarterback, but.
Falcons, they're going to be drafting a quarterback in
that
the first round.
Door is shut.
Yeah, you can't go back, right?
Cannot go.
There's no way that he's going to go back. That would be pretty bad. And Arthur Blank says, oh, just come on home. Yeah, it would be a bad look.
The only way he's going back is on a one-day contract. That's it. He'll retire as a Falcon. Otherwise, there's no actual need to bring him
in. And the Panthers and Saints. Like, I don't think the Panthers are bringing him in to mentor Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud or whoever, right? And neither with the, like, who the Saints?
Saints, I think, could be interesting.
Yeah, but what's the sell if you're bringing in Matt Ryan? He's cooked. He's not a great player anymore. He can't even be a good player anymore.
I think the sell is that the Colts offensive line screwed him and that we can protect him better. And as long as he has time, he can still get out to Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, Chris Olave. That's a sell.
Are you believing in the Saints next year if they bring in Matt Ryan?
No.
No. So his career, I never like to tell a guy when to retire. He should hang him up after this year. Hey, he's not a young guy in terms of football years. He's
what, 37?
37. He turns 38 in May.
And he might not have a choice.
It's time to, well, I don't know if you're riding off into the sunset, but you get the point. It's time to walk away from the NFL if you're him. It's been a league since 2008.
It's been a long time.
Been a league since 2008, had a long run, won an MVP, went to 4 Pro Bowls, was up 28-3 in a Super Bowl. When I say Matt Ryan Hall of Fame, your answer?
No.
Yeah, my answer is no, too. Now, here's the tough part with the new standard for the Hall of Fame, or the way that I'm going to look at it. You would think, right, a guy that's in top 10 passing yards and passing touchdowns would get in. Matt Ryan, passing yards, he's at 7. All-time right now, if he never played another snap in the NFL, and passing touchdowns, 9. With how pass-heavy, though, the league is now and how the way that offense has changed, do we now just put everyone that gets into the top 10 in the Hall of Fame? Like, that's something that I wonder what's going to happen with the voters. Like, for example, you think Eli, who has 2 Super Bowl MVPs, to you isn't a Hall of Famer, but you do think he will eventually get in. Phillip Rivers, you said you don't think he's a Hall of Famer. Will he eventually get in, though, Phillip Rivers?
That's a tough one.
Let me be clear. I think he'll get in. I think it's just going to take him, like, 4, 5, 6 years, maybe.
He'll... Probably it's gonna be close.
So what about Matt Ryan?
I think he'll get in. It'll be close. I don't think he actually does get in.
But you know,
but
what
can I
help
think
him?
He'll be on the ballot for a while.
Now he did win an MVP.
He did.
I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I didn't fear him as much as I feared Eli or I feared Phillip Rivers. For Matt Ryan, it stinks. But what's the first thing you think of when you think of his career? What's the first thing?
Well, I mean, 28-3, but that's and not really his fault.
It's unfortunate, but that's what you think of. Now, could you still have a great career and have a bad moment like that? Yes, but I look at him as just a good quarterback. Now, he had a great year where he won an MVP. And for a number three overall pick, yeah, there's been a lot worse number three overall picks. The guy had a really good career. But you get into these Hall of Fame debates, is it really, 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 really good, or is it great? And it's supposed to be greatness. And I don't think Matt Ryan has enough greatness moments to put him in the Hall of Fame. But everyone likes Matt Ryan. I like Matt Ryan. And if you are a nice guy and you're close, especially when it's up to these writers, unfortunately, that does factor into this conversation. You know that. So would it surprise me if Matt Ryan gets into the Hall of Fame eventually? No, it wouldn't. Am I going to be saying on the radio that he's a Hall of Famer? No. That's just me personally.
28-3 thing, too. Because you make the argument about Philip Rivers. Like, what's the first thing you think of with him?
Competitor. Fierce competitor. Oh, like, every time the Patriots, and I know they fared well up against Chargers, up against Philip Rivers. Like, I always just liked Philip Rivers. I think regular season-wise, that was just a great quarterback. He's 6 all-time passing touchdowns. He's also 6 all-time passing yards. The big knock on Philip Rivers, he doesn't have the postseason moments. Like, if that guy won a Super Bowl, it wouldn't even be a conversation. He would be in the Hall of Fame.
Chargers choking is kind of what I would go for as the first thing.
And the other thing is, isn't it weird for quarterbacks? That's the standard. Now, it's not all quarterbacks. Like, no one debated Dan Marino. We all knew Dan Marino was a Hall of Famer. But only for quarterbacks, it's does he have a Super Bowl or not. When we talk about offense alignment, it's not like, oh, did this guy win a Super Bowl? Or for wide receivers, does he have a Super Bowl? Like, that never factors into the conversation. It's just for quarterbacks.
It's the most important position in sports, and that's, you know, part of the guidelines you have to put it on, fair or not.
Yeah, fair or not, it is part of the conversation. Now, you could clearly get into the Hall of Fame without Super Bowl rings. We have seen a lot of quarterbacks get in that don't have rings on their finger. All right, real quickly, just give me the teams here, and I'll give you my quick thoughts if they should be buyers or sellers by the trade deadline next week.
New England Patriots.
Sellers. So all these crappy wide receivers, just get something back for them.
How about the Browns? Sean Watson come back in a few weeks?
Yeah, I would sell, not drastically, but a guy like Kareem Hunt who wants out, there's no need to keep him on that roster. I would trade him and get draft capital back.
Should the Colts consider or continue the tank and sell at 3-3-1?
Yes. I just don't know what desirable pieces do you have that are healthy.
Stephon Gilmore, Unique Ngakoue, those are probably the two names
like that, yes,
that you definitely probably most tradable.
Yeah, and a guy like Stephon Gilmore, he's older too. Get what you can get back for him at this point.
Raiders already traded away Jonathan Hankins. They're 2-4. Do they continue to trade away pieces or even stay put?
The one name you would look at is Josh Jacobs because that contract is expiring. But Josh Jacobs, the way he's played the last 3 weeks, he may be playing him into a contract next year.
The Broncos went all in on Russ. They're 2-5.
Sell. They stink.
Can they actually be sellers?
Yes. I expect Bradley Chubb to get traded. Jerry Jeudy. They don't have a lot of great pieces. They have a very good defense. Other than that, those pieces are not as great as what people thought it was. And I tried to caution people when Russ went there, and no one was willing to listen.
Commanders are 3-4, but just a half game out of the playoffs.
And they probably win this week, too.
So 4-4, maybe either just on the outside or maybe even in the playoff picture.
Right, you would go Taylor Heinicke over Sam Ellinger this weekend in the victory?
Slightly, I would, yes.
Commanders, yeah, they should sell.
Sell? Okay. Packers.
Buy. They got to buy. They got to go get Rodgers a wide receiver because he's pouting.
What are the Falcons? Second place, 3-4. I think technically tied for first, but don't have the tiebreaker.
If you would have asked me this question yesterday, I would say sell. I think Arthur Smith is winning over that locker room. I would go make a push. You're the team that has the best chance other than the Bucs to win that division. I go make a little bit push. You don't have to like go all out, but if you go get a guy or two that can improve that team in the now, I would be buyers.
Cardinals, 3-4. Last place, NFC West.
Buyers. That regime is locked up. They got to start winning games. I'd be buyers on the Cardinals. And they have been buyers. We've seen them go out and make trades already with Robbie Anderson.
And finally, Seahawks, 4-3.
Buy. I love the Seahawks story. Don't do anything that messes up the significant draft capital that you have. But if you go add an extra piece or two into that team, I'd have no problem with it because I am rooting for the Seattle Seahawks to make the playoffs this year to stick it to Russ. This is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll talk about Russell Wilson next.
Hey, it's Kenny Mayne. This is a promotion of Hey Mayne, the Kenny Mayne Talks to Famous People podcast. We got lots of famous people, Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann.
We got away with 99% of what we tried to do.
I'm mad at him because I know that he'll regret it, but I know that he has to leave.
Sue Bird is involved. Rex Chapman, Dan Le Batard, Katie Nolan, Alison Becker. Sorry for all the others I interviewed who I left out. Oh, yeah, Soledad O'Brien. She was good. Get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Hey, it's Kenny Mayne. This is a promotion of Hey Mayne, the Kenny Mayne Talks to Famous People podcast. We got lots of famous people, Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann.
We got away with 99% of what we tried to do.
I'm mad at him because I know that he'll regret it, but I know that he has to leave.
Sue Bird is involved. Rex Chapman, Dan Le Batard, Katie Nolan, Alison Becker. Sorry for all the others I interviewed who I left out. Oh, yeah, Soledad O'Brien. She was good. Get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.